Welcome back to Lamplight Conversations. I'm the Reverend James Mosier, and I'm with the Reverend Brad Rick. And we are continuing our look through the readings for the first Sunday of Lent. We're still marching through the Genesis 22 reading. We're down now into verses 13 through 14, 15, and we're going to be segueing into a promise. But we're going to look at just a little bit about the substitution here. So Abraham is told to stop the slaughter. Don't do a thing to Isaac. He stops immediately. The angel of the Lord, the pre-incarnate son, has already told him this. He's done it. And then all of a sudden, something's provided. A ram caught in a thicket by its thorns. I mean, this is a thicket of thorns, and he's caught by his horns. So what are we seeing here?
We're seeing a good pointing to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is our substitute. And as he was caught in the thicket by his horns, we have a good picture of Jesus wearing the crown of thorns as he goes to the cross. The ram is caught in the thicket, like Christ being pinned to the cross as they pounded nails through his hands and his feet. And this will be the thing that's sacrificed, being the substitute for Isaac not being substitute, or Isaac being slaughtered, so that Jesus is the one who substituted for us. He is our replacement. He is our substitute. Take the punishment for our sins. And as he suffers and dies upon the cross, conquer all of sin and Satan and death.
So far we've had Abraham and Isaac trusting, God leading them, Abraham and Isaac having faith, going up the mountain, fire, wood, knife, still having faith and trust that God's going to provide, even to the point of pulling the knife out, getting ready to cut him up. He's submitted to this. And then all of a sudden, the voice cries out, stop. And here is a great picture of Christ who's going to be pinned to the cross, crowned with thorns, and substitutes. And what is God's reaction and response in the pre-incarnate son? What is his response to Abraham as we see in verses 15 through 18? What do we hear from the Lord? I mean, this is an amazing speech that the angel of the Lord, a pre-incarnate son, gives. Great blessing of him.
Right. Yeah, I will surely give you blessings. And he does. You'll have offspring, as many of the stars in heaven and the sand on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies. And through your offspring, all nations of the earth shall be blessed. A group pointing to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Messiah.
And what's really interesting here is in verse 17, the word surely or truly absolutely multiply and bless you. I mean, this is not some, hey, you did a good deed. If I remember it, I'll reward you someday. This is surely or surety is a word, a contract word. It is a word of promise. It's ironclad, guaranteed. This is no wishful thinking. I hope I win the lottery kind of thing because I bought a ticket. This is, it will happen, period.
And it's a good pointing to the way God is with his word. If God says it, it is. If God promises it'll happen, it will happen.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. And so now we have fulfilled this with the blessing of God that Abraham trusted, and it's credited to him as righteousness, as Paul says. So now let's kind of flip the switch here just a little bit. We're going to go into the Epistle of James, and this is chapter 1. And the Epistle of James reading today is a nice segue that'll take us into the gospel, and we'll probably look briefly at James, then spend a little time with the gospel, and then kind of bounce back and forth between the two because they fit very nicely together. So the Gospel of James, chapter 1, verses 12 through 18, read as follows. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will, He brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Okay, so James, some have derided the book of James as a very legalistic book when they really kind of don't understand it. James, the main theme of James is to ask us two really great questions. How do you know that you're saved? And the answer is always, we know that we are saved by grace through faith alone. But then question two is, how does the world see or know, and how do you know that you are saved by grace through faith alone? And the answer to that is, by how do you live as a Christian?
Okay.
Living your Christian vocation.
Alrighty.
So if we think of this reading in context of that kind of thought, how do we get, you know, because the last kind of thing of Abraham was the Gentile mission, where all nations are blessed through you. So how do we, as Gentiles, so I don't think you have any Hebrew background there, Pastor.
I have none.
Okay. So and I don't either that I know of. So how do we, as presumably Gentiles, become part of the promise of God?
And we become part of the promise of God through the gifts that God provides for us, which is Christ, either at baptism when he comes to us and by grace he gives to us the gift of faith, or if we hear someone proclaiming the gospel to us, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, and the seeds of saving faith are planted in our heart. That's how we become part of it.
Okay, so let's kind of do this in a weird way. I'm kind of a weird kind of guy.
Go for it.
So let's work through this backwards. Let's start at the end and work to the beginning.
Okay.
Okay, so of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth. That, to me, sounds like baptismal language.
Right.
Where we are living in the wilderness of this world, the wilderness of our hearts, dead, dusty, barren, nothing. Just like the barrenness of Sarah, the barrenness of Mary before she bore Christ. But then God, by his will, his word, brings forth a new life, a new creation in us.
As he gives to us the gift of faith. And before we receive that gift of saving faith, we are truly in the wilderness, in that place where there is barrenness and emptiness and nothingness without Christ. But once we have faith, we are totally in Christ, holy in Christ, one of his, one who belongs to the body of Christ.
So being baptized into Christ means we are saved. Kind of like there's no partial salvation. It's kind of like you're pregnant or you're not.
Our God is an all-in kind of God. He never does anything halfway or partway. It's all in, everything.
It's all in. So yep. When we think about that, where do we go then? And see, this is that question and theme in verse 18, that we should be a kind of first fruits. Well, what did Christ say about his followers? You shall know them by their fruits.
Right.
So we are the fruits of his creation, and because we try to live, fallen and sinful as we are, we try to walk through the valley of the shadow of death as we move where he is trying to lead us to. Because, you know, when you think about the temptations that we face each and every day, all day long, you know, as we kind of work back through this reading, bottom to top, we see the good gifts, and people think, well, I earned them myself. God didn't give them to me. And we're deceiving ourselves. You know, we see sin bring forth death because, you know, we've desired something, we've coveted something, we've been lured and enticed, we've thought about it. And we finally, you know, stuck our foot in and it's done. Because a lot of people will blame God for temptation.
Right. And in this text, it talks about both things. It begins with the testing, but it also talks about the temptations. And here, the Holy Spirit tells us plainly that temptations come about because we are enticed by our own desires, and we are lured by our own desires. And so as we are tempted, it's not coming from God, but it's coming from us. And the old evil foe knows what our fleshly temptations and desires are, and he's the one who puts the temptation in front of us. And even as he puts the temptation in front of us, he is not the one who makes a sin. He just holds the temptation in front of us and says, here it is. If you want pleasure, you want satisfaction, you want glory, you want fame, you want whatever, all you got to do is just take this thing, which is breaking one of the commandments, which is sinning against God.
Yeah, and the saddest part is, you know, people don't want to think about it, but Satan knows our temptations even better than we do.
Right.
And he knows how to package them, repurpose them, rearrange them, hide them, bury them under something. You know, it's the, you know, here's the beautiful looking pie. Well, it's actually mud underneath.
Right.
But, oh no, it's chocolate.
Right.
No.
Right.
And but Satan says, oh, see, it's a good looking pie.
Right. Yeah, it's gonna taste good, man.
Yeah.
It's gonna make you feel good. It'll, you know, it'll take your taste buds right. And he's a liar and deceiver.
But these are the ways of sin, and sin is so alluring and tempting that we have to constantly be aware of it, because as James says, you know, we're blessed because we got to remain steadfast in our trial. And how do you remain steadfast in our trial? Be fed in word and sacrament week by week, day by day. You know, when you're feeling the most weak and the most tempted, where should you go? Word of God. When you're feeling beat down, bedraggled, like you have lost the fight day after day after day, where should you run? To the foot of the altar to receive the Lord's Supper, receive his absolution, because that's where the steadfastness is. That's like, yeah, I know I'm sinful. That's why I go to church.
Right. To have my sins forgiven, to have them removed from me, and be refreshed, restored, and renewed in Christ.
Yeah. And so with that kind of trial and temptation and baptismal stuff in mind, let's take a look at the gospel reading and keep this James reading. Keep your finger on that page as we go to Mark chapter 1, verses 9 to 15. Pastor Rick, would you favor us with the gospel, please?
In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, he immediately saw the heavens opening and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." The Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days being tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild animals, and the angels were ministering to him. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Okay, so very familiar narrative. It's, of course, the Mark version, which is always very stripped down to the point and takes all the fun out of preaching it because it's just too short for my taste. I mean, I enjoy the other Gospels because I got leave more meat on the bone to preach from. But Mark does give us some interesting highlights that add to the wonderfulness of the other accounts. So we've got Jesus, and he's coming down to John to be baptized. You know, and he has no need for this baptism. He is sinless. He will always be sinless. But yet he submits to the Father's will to take on all the sins of the world for all time in this moment. And as he does this, he's doing something very wonderful. And as we come to the end of this segment, we're going to take up this question of the baptism on the other side of the break. So please stay tuned. You are listening to Lamplight Conversations, and we shall be right back.